Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown.
Hello and welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. It is the Thanksgiving edition. It is Thursday of Thanksgiving, and we obviously have a packed slate of games coming on Thursday evening. We'll also have the rest of the games coming on Sunday and into Monday. So it's going to be a fun week here as we enter NFL Week 12. A massive week, Sean, for any of us playing over at the FFPC. I know there's lots of different leagues that'll have lots of different playoff start dates, and especially with things changing up slightly this year with the extra week in the NFL. I know a lot of my dynasty leagues are kind of just pushed basically a week longer for the season. So you have your team might have an extra week to fight their way into those playoff spots. But at the FFPC this week, it is kind of the final week of the regular season to see how things play out over there. So looking forward to it. Hopefully, Sean, our teams will pull through, get into those playoff slots. There's a couple of teams that are right on, well, in it, but on the fringes of could be in or could be out, depending on how this week goes. So it is going to be an action-packed week, and we have a good question on today's show. We'll be doing it in a moment based on strategy of, usually we have one Thursday night football game, and quite often, unless it's somebody I'm really confident in, I tend to try and limit my exposure to those Thursday night football games. But this week, with the three games and with some quite big offenses playing in these, it's going to be interesting to see how we play out in that listener submitted question. But Sean, the week is here. It's week 12 of the NFL season. I think it's going to be quite a fun week of action.
It should be. We do have lots of turmoil, and you mentioned these games. A big chunk of the overall week will happen on Thanksgiving Day. And those teams, in many cases, kind of trying to pull themselves together. We look at this Thanksgiving slate, and we have Lions, Bears to start things off in a game where both teams have a lot of quarterback issues. Obviously, the Bears going with Andy Dalton, hoping that he can do some of the things that he did in the second half last week against the Detroit Lions. The Lions, as we record, look like they're leaning to Jared Goff. We'll see if he's available. The performance from Tim Boyle last week did not leave them wanting to go that route again if they have any choice. And then we move on to a Cowboys-Raiders game, which a couple of weeks ago would have been looked at as a potential barn burner. But now with Amari Cooper out, with CeeDee Lamb questionable, obviously you hope the teams are very careful with their players. The role of the independent doctor should protect these guys to an extent. There has been some conversation that maybe he would still be able to clear, but a decent chance they'll be going with Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, as sort of their big time receivers, and then that leaves Dalton Schultz with potentially a big role. On the other side of the field, you have a Las Vegas Raiders team that just looked like an absolute shell of itself last week. They still have Darren Waller. They're trying to get him more involved. But, I mean, when you have Bryan Edwards doing absolutely nothing, you know, it's tough. And they're calling too many running plays. They're calling runs in bad situations. They're punting when they should be going for it. And so, you know, that game now looks like one that could fizzle a little bit like last week's Bengals-Raiders game did. And then we get the nightcap with Saints-Bills. Both of those teams very disappointed in how their offenses performed last week. So, Colin, you mentioned that you try to stay away from these Thursday night games. Obviously, it's a little bit of an issue for these offenses when they have less time to prepare. Anyone who was dinged up the previous week, they have less time for their bodies to recover. Can be a little bit more of a wild card what you get in these games where the teams don't have the full week. But at the same time, we know that when you have so many teams playing, it's going to be hard to potentially avoid them all. And then, and we've got a couple of key teams on the bye this week. You're going to have to deal with some bye issues. You're going to have to deal with quarterback injury issues, depending on how your roster is constructed. In many cases, it's a situation where you actually have to get some guys in the lineup, because if you wait on all of the players who are questionable, then you could easily be scrambling for very, very low-end guys to fill in on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. And usually it's a case that it's only two teams you have to select from. And like last week, for example, we had the Patriots versus the Falcons. Anyone who started the Patriots defense last week coming up big on Thursday Night Football. But my thing with it in this situation is it can't really be avoided. And you mentioned the reasons there that I tend to avoid it, being the fact that we have less time for people to recover, less time to game plan. And we did talk about this, Sean, maybe I would say like 6 or 8 weeks ago when we were looking ahead at some of the Thursday night games. So obviously when we're planning the Thursday show, we don't want to have on the Saturday show, which we usually do record at the same time as the Thursday show, we don't want to have a heavy dose of games that have already been played. So when we look back or look ahead to who's playing, this year Thursday night football has had much more competitive and much more improved games in terms of who is in there, you know, in terms of the competitive teams. So it has been much, much better this year compared to previous years, is what I would be saying. But looking to it and looking at this question, Sean, from one of our regular listeners, PM Farley, in terms of, he has a line of question, but I think then this can be brought to the broader part of the start sit debate is, wondering about the games tomorrow. Should he start Tony Pollard, who is going up against the Raiders, or should he hope Elijah Mitchell is active and start him on Sunday? So he says if Mitchell can't go, he'd be forced to play Latavius Murray. It's a must-win game. Start at 1-4, fought his way back to 6-5, and has a few bye weeks coming up here as well. So he needs to win this one. So Sean, kind of what we touched on previous shows, but in this case, we don't have as many fallback options as we may have in previous weeks based on the kind of, I guess, the lesser teams are playing on Sunday, the lesser options are going to be available. So where do you kind of fall down on this? I had it a couple of weeks ago when I talked about Kadarius Toney on Monday Night Football, but it is a kind of similar situation. Do you think in this case, do we just treat it like a normal Thursday night slate of games, or should we be taking some extra precautions?
It's going to come down to the individual rosters in so many cases, right? You're always sort of building throughout the week and looking at waivers, trying to decide who do I need to prioritize based on the order the games are going to be played in, and how am I going to make sure I have adequate backup? Now, in this situation with Elijah Mitchell and the questions about, you know, if he does play, what's the workload going to be? And so one of the issues with waiting on the injured players is that you have the chance to potentially take a zero if you're not protected. Now, in this case, Latavius Murray is the backup. That's not a terrible backup as far as backups go. It could be that Murray has a similar workload to Mitchell, because we've seen Deebo Samuel deployed extensively as a runner the last several weeks. We know that they might want to get Trey Sermon or Jeff Wilson a few touches if they dominate the game. Mitchell not catching a ton of passes. And so you're really looking for a big play. You're looking for a touchdown from him in terms of what the ceiling is this week. Now, when you look forward a couple weeks again, and we're kind of pointing at the fantasy semifinals, the championship, you know, that kind of situation, then hopefully Mitchell is back to having a very high ceiling to where waiting on him would be very clearly the key choice. We looked at this game here. The Cowboys, without some of their top receiving threats, and in a situation where, at least as we record, there is a lot of discussion around how healthy is Ezekiel Elliott. So it could be a deal here where Tony Pollard actually gets a pretty good workload, catches some passes, and has a better floor and ceiling than he's had in most of the games. One of the problems with Pollard this season is that, other than the two very strong performances, he's been very low floor. And so, you know, drafters aren't quite getting the standalone value that they had hoped for. I think that the prognosis is probably a little bit better in this game in terms of where he goes. Then you look at Latavius Murray. He was one of the notes in the Zero RB watch this week. Only 8 expected points, definitely played well behind Devontae Freeman. Freeman, I think, the one guy in that Baltimore Ravens offense, in terms of these different retreads that they've trotted out and tried to use, who actually still looks pretty close to his normal level. And so that's a big contrast. I mean, Latavius Murray was released from the Saints in part because he's having some of these same problems that Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson are having, where they're just, I mean, they're not the same guys. They have the name, but they're not the player. So from that perspective, you would prefer not to go with Murray. At the same time, we do see situations, you know, every week where guys who are in the second week back from the injury play better. I mean, all you have to do is look at Saquon Barkley and his performance and, you know, think to yourself, well, I mean, he's got to look better than that in the second game of the return, right? And even he talked about it where he's, you know, he feels like he's back to the situation week one, where he's trying to get his legs under him, trying to get a feel for what's going on out there. You know, Murray isn't going to make such a big change in terms of from a pretty low level to a star level, but he could jump back up into a little bit more of the committee. So, I mean, this is an interesting question because all three of these backs have strengths and weaknesses. I think that there is some benefit to not put yourself in a situation where you're really scrambling late in the week. And so, and a lot of our listeners are going to be dealing with even more complex decisions where they maybe have multiple guys going on Thursday. They have multiple positions and multiple flex spots that they're looking at. And then multiple players on Sunday who have some sort of injury question there. And so, you know, one of the things that I would probably try to do in most of those cases is to take a little bit of that uncertainty away by going with someone from Thursday and then hoping that out of your group of questionable players for Sunday that, you know, hopefully it's the guy with the best ceiling, but hopefully somebody comes through and is available there. So you can kind of manage the risk by taking some of it on the individual days as opposed to all in on Thursday or all in on waiting for Sunday.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Cabin from the RotoViz flagship podcast, just stopping by to say thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. We're offering our listeners a special 10% discount when they use the promo code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off a one-year subscription when you use the promo code RVRadio2021. Thanks for listening and keep on tuning in.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sean, you are covering the AFC for the Zero RB Watch this week up on rotoviz.com. There's a lot of, like we say sometimes there's, you know, the running back position kind of stabilized there for a couple of weeks, but lots of things in flux this week that were quite interesting. I usually let you have the floor and let you go straight in and dive in. The one team that could be quite intriguing, we've touched on them, obviously, with Derrick Henry's injury and how things have played out there. With the Titans and their running back room. Obviously, we had the situation where Adrian Peterson is now released as well, or waived from the team. This week, Dontrell Hilliard had quite an interesting impact to the game. 8 receptions off 10 targets. Did only have the 47 yards, but obviously if we're looking in PPR leagues, we're getting into nice shape with those 8 receptions. Didn't get in the end zone, but if he did, I think there'll be a lot more talk heading into this week about Hilliard. How do you think we're seeing that backfield maybe shift in dynamic? Was this like a 1 week thing that we've seen, or do we think we could maybe rely on some of those targets moving forward here?
Unfortunately, the tricky part is not really knowing where Jeremy McNichols slides in and sort of his health status. There's a lot of overlap between McNichols and Hilliard in terms of how they would be used. The release of Adrian Peterson and the signing of Hilliard, you know, from the practice squad does create a dynamic where you're sort of expecting that Hilliard will now play a bigger role. And their comfort level with him as this sort of hybrid back where, because they were playing in this game script where they had to pass all of the time, then he was the back out there. And as a result, anytime that they did want to mix in a run, he also got some of these rushing plays. And so the contrast with McNichols and Hilliard to Deontay Foreman is that they fit into that a little bit better. And now you look at a situation with the Titans where, I mean, this could be the start of a trend where they're going to face some games like this. I mean, they came out and actually performed extremely well without Derrick Henry for several weeks, but they just have so many issues now with really their top 3 wide receivers, including obviously the 2 most important receivers are out. The defense no longer has to really worry about the running game, and so they don't treat it the same way. Ryan Tannehill has really flourished as a passer with facing all of these heavy boxes to stop Derrick Henry. You know, now he has to deal with the types of pass defenses that most NFL quarterbacks have to deal with, and it's been a very different dynamic, especially when you don't have any players to throw to. And so, you know, we're now kind of almost in a desperation situation where these running backs could have a lot of value. Now, that being said, it's going to be a little bit tricky, at least this week and maybe for a couple of weeks, to find out how this does develop. And, you know, if we can count on this for more than 1 week, I do think that, you know, anyone who has stashed Foreman, and he was a trendy pick after people got to see Peterson in that first game, there's some real potential there. He didn't get to play a lot in week 11, but when he did play, he again flashed this size speed profile that has been so intriguing to so many of us for so many years, and yet really hasn't ever materialized, right? And so you have to balance the fact that there have always been reasons why he wasn't able to really make a go of it. Hilliard, a guy who was kind of interesting, played and did some reasonable things with the Cleveland Browns over 2018, 2019, and then really just kind of was pushed to the side, didn't have a role anymore once Kareem Hunt became active in 2019. And so then he disappeared and you're like, where is Hilliard gone? He was this interesting player for a few weeks. And now that we've seen D'Ernest Johnson look so good as their backup, one of the things that I put in the Zero RB Watch this week is that if you filter for running backs with 50 or more carries, the top 3 backs in terms of evasion rate are Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, and D'Ernest Johnson. So those guys all performing well. You can understand why Johnson was the guy who kind of stuck in Cleveland with the 2 stars there. But I mean, Hilliard is a guy who has some talent and I think could do some things. We're always chasing these high value receiving touches, and I mean, he's someone who would fit that. But the other thing too is just if McNichols has been dropped in your league, you probably have to add him back, you know, unless we get clear answers on sort of what his status is between now and whenever you have to make those decisions.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. You know, having Peterson out of the mix is at least going to clear that up a bit. But yeah, it's hard to, with a huge confidence, to predict what way it's going to go. But I think if he's out there, I think there's no harm in seeing what you could maybe stash for the next couple of weeks. Sean, in terms of the overall team percentage of opportunities this week, we had Jonathan Taylor lead the way. We did talk about him earlier in the week. Would love to see the target share come up for him, or the actual targets, three targets for him on the week to the 32 attempts, but 35 touches is something we can't really be too disappointed with. Joe Mixon, who's somebody we've talked about a number of times on the show, we talked about the Bengals, we talked about you know, Joe Burrow. You talked with Ben on Wednesday's episode as well about Joe Burrow and how things have not worked out as we probably hoped so far this season. Joe Mixon did have 30 attempts, 30 opportunities, but all rush attempts this week was 45% of those opportunities. Moving down then though, Sean, a little bit further down the list, there's some guys who may be on rosters at the moment or may even be on certain waiver wires at the moment that could be picked up, who could be potential zero RB candidates moving forward here. We have Devontae Freeman, who's snuck onto a number of our rosters for the Baltimore Ravens. He did have six targets last week. Obviously, we didn't have Lamar Jackson in this one, but he also had 16 rushing attempts. So a very solid week for him with those 22 opportunities. The interesting and weird one here, the next two names when we get down through the top 10 that are above Hilliard are both Houston Texans running backs. So that was quite an unusual game where the Texans come out on top against the Titans. So game script probably really went heavily in Hilliard's favor, and this one versus Foreman, in terms of how the game script played out for the Titans. But two Houston running backs fitting in there, one with 18 attempts, one with 17 attempts. That is Rex Burkhead and David Johnson. Johnson getting the receiving work with the four targets, and this one. Those two guys are both players at certain times of their career that we have been in love with, I guess, could possibly even be the term that I would use there. I know in baseball this year, I was still getting those Rex Burkhead shares in at certain points in the offseason, but we've joked about the Texans and how many running backs that they have had in that room. Obviously, Philip Lindsay is no longer there. That has loosened that up a little bit, but is there either of these guys, or either of these guys rosterable, playable as we move forward here?
Well, if you were still drafting Burkhead, that shows, I think, great determination, and
it was in the 28th round format. I will hold my hands up there.
Yes, I was going to say, then that's the other part. It had to be in the 28th round format. It's always fun to be doing a show with a Burkhead true believer.
He's on those dynasty rosters. I still have those receipts. I'll be holding on to them until he cashes out of the NFL.
Very nice. Very nice. 420 to 190 total yards in this game. The Texans winning, but coming in on the tail end of the yardage battle. The Titans, you know, all kinds of things they went out here to lose the game. You have Peterson stuffed on his fourth down carry. You have Tannehill throwing what turned into almost a pick six. You've got the muff punt. The Texans benefited from this sort of comedy of errors that the Titans engaged in, and yet they didn't really benefit in a way that mattered that much for fantasy, right? We get 32 carries for Burkhead and David Johnson, and they gain 55 yards. So, I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere, right? The interesting here is just trying to figure out, like, if the Texans can get even mildly more competent. We saw early on in the game when they were trying to do more than just burn the clock that Tyrod Taylor looked pretty decent. I mean, this is kind of a weird game where the Texans win, but Brandon Cooks was taken out of the game. And so, you know, you're thinking that, you know, maybe the Texans offense shows a little bit more if they can get him involved. They could get into the red zone and create some opportunities here. I mean, this is a game where you would have hoped they would have done it, but it's not impossible that they would get down there inside the 5-yard line in some games. The interesting thing when you talk about Burkhead and Johnson getting so many touches is trying to figure out, like, if they actually had a good game, where would the value be? You mentioned that David Johnson was the guy getting the targets. that helps him, although we know that anytime that could flip because Burkhead has been a solid receiving back in the past for the Patriots. David Johnson also had a number of situations in this game where he still looked like he was kind of the main guy. But then the interesting part here is that Burkhead, and one of the reasons why his yards per carry was so low, is that he was used so much on short yardage. And I was kind of watching through the game and it felt like, you know, he was always in there on these 1 and 2 yard to go situations. So I did look it up in the screener, and it looks like 6 of his 18 carries came on plays where the Texans needed 1 or 2 yards for a first down. And I mean, these were all very close plays. It's not like he was breaking through the line and then, you know, going for 20, 30 yards. But again, his overall line will also tell you that. He was able to fight through and get most of these, though. He got a carry from the 10-yard line. He got a carry from the 5-yard line. So my sort of thesis here is that there is a world in which Rex Burkhead scores a touchdown between now and the end of the season. And in that world, if you play him in the right week when you don't have anybody else, then maybe, you know, those 6 points, you know, winning your fantasy title. Now, obviously, if you're playing in the semis, you're playing in the finals, you hope that you have much better options to go in there. So it probably doesn't come into play, but these are guys in deeper leagues. And if you're dealing with a lot of injuries where you could use them on the very last spot on your bench, and there's always a chance they might be the break glass in case of emergency player who comes through right when you need it.
Yeah, it feels like that to me. It feels like I really couldn't put them in with confidence in most situations. If I was asking which backfield I'm taking those shots on, it's definitely going to be the guys that we talked about in the Titans, even though they come out in the losing side here. The other player, Sean, that I think was quite interesting, I touched on there a moment ago, kind of glanced past it when I talked about the Ravens, that was Devontae Freeman. 6 targets, 6 receptions. Did have a pretty solid week overall. When we look at what he was able to do, he is somebody who, as I mentioned as well, is on a couple of our rosters that we have, and is with Le'Veon Bell no longer being on the roster. You had a fun note in the Zero RB Watch for the notes where you mentioned that Devontae Freeman has been the only member of the Ravens retread brigade who hasn't looked washed up. So I would agree with that. I didn't know if that was the way it would shake out when he was signed to this roster, but they have tried out a lot of these guys and moved on from some of them. But Freeman looks like somebody who could be potentially quite valuable over the next couple of weeks.
He does. And the real question here, again, is just that this game is probably not very representative of how they're going to look this week or next week, how they're going to look down the stretch. He had 17.9 expected points in this game, 9.2 as a rusher, 8.7 as a receiver. I mean, that's a very good workload profile if we're looking at what we want in a back. So you can even underperform that and be very startable. He outperformed it with a touchdown in this one, and he does look like the best guy. But then, you know, you think, okay, well, when the team is healthier at wide receiver, when Lamar Jackson is back, when Latavius Murray is a week closer, the likelihood is that the workload that looks so good in this one contracts again, and then you're back to really hoping that somehow game script or just the specific situation toward the end of the game creates a drive where he might catch a couple of passes. You're hoping that he does get in with the score. But one of the things that you would have to worry about at least a little bit with the Ravens is that even if Murray is just conclusively the weaker of the two backs, that they might decide, okay, well, we want to use Freeman between the 20s, but maybe since we have Murray, you know, we still want to use him down there at the goal line. And so then, you know, he ends up vulturing a touchdown. Obviously, every week you have the threat of Lamar Jackson faking and scrambling in himself. And so we have him. I'm glad we have him. We've played him some. Sometimes it's worked out. I think that you can look at this and hope. And maybe this week they confirm some of these trends by really liking what he's done and using him again. But my concern would be that it goes back in the other direction.
Yeah, it could. And that's obviously the risk with these guys that we're talking about. And I know, you know, some people might be listening and wondering why we're talking about these guys that are right down at the bottom of the list of all running backs in the NFL that you might want to have on your roster. But the fact is that some of the teams we've drafted, you may need to get these guys in to get you over the line and some of those cases based on injuries and bye weeks and so on. Another player, Sean, that we had been using, I'm not really going to discuss him very much, but based on having him in a couple of lineups, caught a couple of touchdowns, over the last couple of weeks was Ty Johnson. Tevin Coleman returned from his injury. That kind of negated the usage that Johnson had. So he kind of maybe quite unusable here as we walk forward. But the other one note I did want to hit on that you had in it was around Jonathan Taylor. And you talk about, you know, you don't want to kind of say it maybe too loud, but Taylor's walking himself into that Barry Sanders, Jamal Charge conversation. Everyone listening knows we love Jonathan Taylor. We've been talking about him all year long, but I don't think that I don't think we're too much away in terms of exaggeration. If you look at every game that he's had this season in terms of week on week on week, every week he tends to be breaking another record for, you know, the most of this or the most of that. He's breaking every Colts record basically every week that he does something. So he's really starting to put himself into that historical conversation. And still, the other thing that it caught my eye this week is I think it's 2023 before he is able to negotiate a contract extension with the Colts, which like at the moment I think they're paying Nyheim Hines $6 million a year. So if he can stay healthy and keep doing what he's doing, he's going to get some mouthwatering numbers when it comes to that contract. But we will talk some more running backs on the Saturday show this week. I'm looking forward to talking some young rookie running backs, Sean, that I'll leave it at that as our tease for it. But I think there's some interesting stuff still to go in the Zero RB report this week for the AFC that Sean has done. One of my favorite things to dive into each and every week to get those insights. So head on over and check that out up on rotoviz.com. If you haven't done so already, and you might even get a sneak peek at what we're going to talk about on Saturday's edition. But Sean, we are wrapping up the episode that's going to come out on Thanksgiving. And of course, a massive day of NFL action, but also a massive day for people around the world associated with the US, but obviously the people in the United States as well. We like to say thank you as much as possible to everyone who listens in. I did mention it in the show earlier this week, but thank you to everyone who supports the show, sends in questions, drops his written and reviews. We do really appreciate the community that we have built up, and it has grown over the years, but over the last 12 months has been tremendous to have those listener leagues, you know, different things that we've interacted with listeners on. It's been a lot of fun to get to know the community that's listening in. So that's my kind of thank you on Thanksgiving, Sean. Anything that you want to add in there?
Yeah, well, the main thing is just, you know, like I mentioned with Ben on Stealing Bananas, but it's been such a fun ride to do this with you. And obviously we've gotten to be great friends over the years, but I appreciate, number one, the feedback from the listeners on some of these bonus shows that we have done. The fact that people are sort of interested in that long-haired photo is something that cracks me up. We'll try and have a situation to get that in on one of these, but it's also been just great to learn more about you. I mean, as the listeners are, that has been really cool for me. And so, you know, we're getting notes about you as the Irish Gronk, and that's obviously a blast to hear and read about it. And Colm, I'm looking at him sort of face-to-face. I get the shoulders up. I don't get the 6'5", 250-pound behemoth. But if he needs to, I think Colm can just, you know, hop through the screen and give me what for, put me on the right path. He's not something to mess with over there. But yeah, we're really thankful for the OT community, thankful for the Rotoviz community. I mentioned this week that one of the things I enjoy every season are the new players, the rookies, all of that kind of thing, but also our sort of rookies at RotoViz. We've got a great group this season doing new content for us. Obviously, the people who have been with us through the years, you know, they're such a special part of our community. We do have people reach out through the show and want to know how they can get involved. And so, you know, if you do want to get involved for 2022, if you want to, you know, send us an article for the end of the 2021 season, if you want to get involved with Colm on sort of the back end doing some of the production kinds of things, just reach out, let us know. Sometimes there are some opportunities and can be a cool way to kind of get your foot in the door with the fantasy industry. But the people who have reached out and expressed that, you know, they want to be involved with RotoViz because they've been listening to the shows and enjoy that. Those are always really cool moments for us. And so we appreciate you guys. And yeah, 2022 has been a better year in a lot of ways. Hopefully the last month and a week goes extremely well for everyone, both on the field and especially off. And Colin, it's great to be back again here on Thanksgiving and celebrating with the community.
Yeah, I would agree. And for the listeners who may have spotted Sean there, I'm not going to edit it out in post-production. The year is still 2021. Sean has not found it, but maybe you found a time machine, Sean. You went to 2022.
No, I'm saying, you know, for next season, people okay. who...
I think that's the perfect way to plug people signing up to the site. If you sign up to the site, 2022 will be excellent. But if you are interested in a 10% discount of a RotoViz NFL pass, you can use the code RVRadio2021. The code RVRadio2022 is not yet active, but I'm sure that will be coming when we get into that 2022 year. But any other information you want to find out on it, you can head on over to rotoviz.com/podcast. You won't regret it. Some of the, in my opinion, it is the best content in the business from guys like Sean, Blair, Dave, the whole crew over there. Phenomenal content multiple times a day throughout your whole week to set you up for success. So once again, that code is RVRadio2021. That's going to wrap us up for the Thursday edition of the RotoViz Overtime Podcast. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host, as always, is Sean Siegel. You can follow on Twitter at FF_Contrarian, or probably better off to listen to him on the Stealing Bananas podcast. But until we're back on Saturday with another podcast, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.